Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for enabling us to meet once again today and for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for your psalms. They are such an encouragement and so instructive. And as we have Psalm 142 today, a maskil, the psalm, a song of instruction. And it really, my Bible entitles it a plea for relief from persecutors. And it is a contemplation, a maskil, of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. And whether this was in the cave of Adullam or the cave of En-Gedi, we don't know, but it was written in a cave. And he's in a cave because the persecutors are after him. Much for us to learn here when we feel that the persecutors are after us, or we are under persecution from the evil one, and so forth. So it begins with, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. So I thought we would just sing this Maranatha song on Hear My Cry.
Hear my cry, O Lord, attend.
So Psalm 142, reading it together, and then we will go through it verse by verse. It's seven verses. Verse 1, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Great little psalm, isn't it? A plea for relief from persecutors. So we begin in verse 1 with, I cry out. A very common, and not common, but I mean frequently used term in the Bible. It's actually used about 60 times in the Bible. And I believe in about 24 of the books is the word cry out. But here in verse 1, I cry out to the Lord. Notice who he cries out to, not to man, but to the Lord, to Yahweh. And how does he cry out? I cry out to the Lord with my voice, with my voice. Reminding just a bit in Psalm 119, 145, 146, we have it too, a lot of places. But in verse 145 of Psalm 119, we read, I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. Verse 146, I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. So we notice now he will repeat that, I cry out to the Lord with my voice, and then he turns around backward and says, with my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. So notice the stress, or not the stress, but the double emphasis on voice here, on articulating the prayers. And you know, I think it's good to pray silently. It's good to pray. Maybe we're just groaning, and maybe we don't even know how to pray, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. But I do think when you do articulate your prayers, it's easier for me to keep my mind on the prayer than letting my mind wander, because I can think a thought and pray it, and then if I am not careful, I'll wander off of it. But if I'm articulating it, as long as I'm speaking what's in my heart, I seem to be able to focus on it. At any rate, he is saying, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. And then he continues, verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. Before him. Who do you complain to? Or who do you complain to or pour out your complaint to? To him. Before him. Not before man. Before him. And then he says, in kind of almost a continuation or a repeat, I declare before him my trouble. What happens when you declare your troubles before the Lord? Well, frequently, you start to realize those troubles aren't much at all in a way, because when you get close to him, your troubles disappear, don't they? You know, when we're far away from him and focused on self, our troubles seem so big and he's so little. But when we get close to him, we recognize just a little bit of his vastness and his overwhelmingly goodness, and then our troubles seem to disappear. So David says, I declare before him my trouble. Now, verse 3, he's pretty down pretty far here, pretty downcast. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed with me, then you knew my path. It seems like what he's saying is, he frequently says, when my soul, and is there a difference? Because we'll get to soul a little later on down here in verse 7. But there's a little difference between soul and spirit. Is ruach, or the breath, or the power of the Holy Spirit. We really say the ruach, the spirit. That's what we read here when we say my spirit, ruach, was overwhelmed within me. And later when we get to soul, soul is nefesh, which really means a living, breathing creature. It really kind of identifies who I am as a body, really, as a person, as a body. But here, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. Now, as we consider that, you know, when your spirit is not overwhelmed, you may be thinking you're doing pretty well. You may be thinking, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit. It's so good. The Lord is so good. And it's just wonderful to be a Christian walking in His way. But then when He puts us through, or when we go through a great trial or a great affliction, sometimes we, like we can't even sense His presence. And at that time, isn't that a little bit more like what we really are? And we are without His Spirit filling us. We're just kind of dismal. And here it says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path in the way in which I walk. Lord, I know you know the way in which I walk. Oh, help me to walk in your way. He goes on to say, they, the enemies, have secretly set a snare for me. Now, a snare is in itself secretive because it's hidden. But here it's secretly set. That's even... they're in secret setting it, and it is a snare to catch you. And so he says, my enemies, they have secretly set a snare for me. And then notice he's all by himself, really, in this difficulty. He thinks anyway. Verse 4, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. You might say he's friendless, without friends. Going on, he says, refuge has failed me. In other words, wherever I seek my refuge apart from him, it's failed me. He says, no one cares for my soul. You know, at a time when you really get in a difficulty, you kind of find out in one way who your friends are a little bit. Everybody wants to be your friend when things are good, but when things are really bad, in some cases you can't find any of them. They don't seem to want to show up or be a part of it. Now back into crying to the Lord again in verse 5, I cried out to you, O Lord. I love it. To you. Who again? To you, O Lord, saying, you are my refuge. So he's crying out to his refuge. I cry out to my Lord, my refuge. And he says, my portion in the land of the living. I cry out to you, O Lord, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Now, the portion is even in another whole dimension there, I should say. And that portion really stands for an allotment. You know, when they allotted the land to the tribes of Israel and so forth, the portion. Or it could be inheritance. So your continuing inheritance is the Lord. And isn't that great when you say, my Lord is my portion. Verse 6, attend or take heed or give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. So he's down here, isn't he? But he's crying out to the Lord, attend to my cry. Attend, give heed to it. For I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. So he's praying for deliverance. And deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Stronger than I am. But certainly no strength at all compared to him. And then he closes with a great verse saying, bring my soul, bring my nephesh, bring who I am, a living, breathing creature, out of prison that, why? Bring me out of prison that I may praise your name. You know, when Satan has us bound up, so to speak, in prison, it's very difficult for us to praise his name. And when I get all in despair because of being bound up in prison, so to speak, difficult to praise my name. Now, we know Apostle Paul was praising the Lord in and out of prison. He spent his last short amount of time, I don't know how short it was, but in Rome, in our member team prison, and you go down in that, it's basically an old septic or part of a sewer system, really, of the city of Rome, dark and dank. That's where he was, but he was writing the prison epistles there. At least Timothy there, we think, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And he was really, in spite of that, it's just so great. Of course, Philippians is one of the prison epistles, and that is a praise epistle, isn't it? And then he closes with, the righteous shall surround me. Oh, I like that. I think that applies to every one of us. That means when righteous people surround me, They can rejoice in seeing me and sing my praise to the Lord. They could be encouraged with my difficulties that he has brought me through or taken me out of. And then he closes, after being in the pit, he looks up and he says, "For you," capital Y-O-U, "for you, Lord, what shall deal bountifully with me?" Isn't that great? Deal bountifully, not just deal with me, but deal bountifully with me. That's our Lord, is he not? "You shall deal bountifully with me." So the remedy for persecution or persecutors is looking to him, crying out to him with our voice, crying out to him, making supplication, giving thanks to him, rejoicing, and sensing his presence and the fact that he is with us, his promises that he will always be with us. So may we learn from this psalm. So now we have a little time to pray. So let us go to the Lord as led by the Spirit and redeem these moments together. Well, we come to the end of the hour and we see his awesomeness and his goodness. And he is the one we want to go to in time of trouble. He's the one we want to go to at all times, don't we? Reminded again of this great praise song. "The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you, loving you, and serving you." Let us sing this together. Make it our prayer.
Serve you more. I want
And Father, that is our prayer. Oh, may that be a true statement in every aspect to us. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Even as Apostle Paul would say in the book of Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And then not only knowing you, but loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. And then out of that love to serve you, greatest thing in all my life is serving you. Lord, guide us as we go now this day and help us to be available to indeed love you, to know you, and to serve you. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.